Welcome to the Riches Podcast Documentary. I'm Robert Castanello, and I hope you are enjoying our summer content before we launch our new series, A History of Central Florida, in the fall. What I'm bringing you this week is an unreleased podcast I recorded a few years ago. I met up with two women who worked as farm workers in Apopka since they were young children. And now they are commemorating the lives of Central Florida farm workers in a quilt designed to tell the stories of individual workers and their families. Originally, this was part of a larger podcast project that ultimately fell through. But before I abandoned it, these recordings with these two women I held on to in hopes to release them at some point in the future. At the time of the interview, the quilt was unfinished. Now it is completed, and traveling the state has the Lake Apopka Farm Worker Memorial Quilts. You can go to the internet and look up the Lake Apopka Farm Worker Memorial Quilts, find their website, and you can see where the quilt is currently being displayed and where it's touring the state. These interviews were rich in life history, and I wanted to share them with you. The women I spoke to were Linda Lee, who created the quilt and travels around with the quilt, and Geraldine Matthew, who was involved in organizing community support for the quilt. This podcast will be broken up into three parts. In part one, Linda Lee and Geraldine Matthew tell me about growing up as farm workers and the role a handful of Catholic nuns had in launching the Office of Farm Worker Ministry. Farm workers like Geraldine Matthew and Linda Lee, along with the Office of Farm Worker Ministry, successfully organized numerous programs and protests to improve the lives of local area farmers. And this is the story that they tell in part one. Part two, Geraldine Matthews continues the discussion of the plight of farm workers and their attempts to organize and engage Apopka officials in improving the lives of farm workers. Finally, in part three, we hear the story of the inspiration for the memorial quilts, and both Geraldine Matthew and Linda Lee give us the poignant stories of the lives of the people memorialized in the quilt. What you're about to hear is part two of Apopka Farm Workers. Geraldine Matthew tells us about early organizing and political engagement.
So what we did, we went to the Farm Workers Association and we told the nuns that what was happening. And we organized ourselves with the help of Tirso, and we went out on the farms and we had a demonstration, but it didn't help at all. It didn't help because they replaced the African-American crew leader with a Hispanic crew leader. And a lot of reasons for that is there was an agreement that African-American people would get paid every day. Most growers paid African-Americans every day. But the large growers was trying to get out of paying every day. They wanted to go on a weekly salary. But for many years, you paid every day. So when they started talking about paying once a week, the people start getting upset. And they said they wasn't going to work like that. So that's why really we was replaced. The Hispanic people.
When they were getting paid once a week, they were kicking out more money.
Right.
Way more money.
Mm-hmm. Because they was even keeping 10 cents out of every dollar we made, not for Social Security, but they call it a bonus at the end of the season.
You mentioned earlier also that sisters came in because of the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
What crisis are you referring to?
Well, the city of Apopka, if you live next to me here and I go to work and you go to work, when I come home, I want to take a shower, you want to take a shower. We couldn't take a shower at the same time because the water system was so poor in Apopka. So that was one of the issues that the sisters took up. And we demonstrated against the city about that. There wasn't even a lawsuit and all of this with the city. So we didn't have voices. African American didn't have voices in Apopka. But when the sisters came and educated us about the difference we can make, then we started going up against the city. For instance, if there was a child that was sick and my doctor didn't want to see that child because of being racist. Mm-hmm. The sisters would, you know, we would go to the sisters and they would help us organize ourselves, and we would go after that person with a large demonstration. Apopka have a mayor that has been in Apopka for over 50 years, John Land, and it was very difficult to go up against him. So you always had to have somebody, as an African American, you always had to have somebody white with you when you want to go to the city meetings and talk about the issues that you was having in Apopka. And it's kind of still like that. It's not too much change. We got better houses. We got better roads. You know, we have better living conditions. Most of the old houses that the farm workers live in has been torn down. We went to the Capitol. We fought for a housing project to house only farm workers, where farm workers could qualify to live there. You had to be making, all of your income had to be from work. They built that house. They built that apartment. It was 85 apartment units. And they was built so cheap, they ended up tearing their apartments down in, what, 2002 or 3? Mm-hmm. They tore the complex down. Up until yet, they haven't built it back. And farm work doesn't change. Over the years, you know, you would think the price of farm work, they would give you more money, but it doesn't change. When I started farm work, I was getting 25 cents a box back in 1963. When I left farm work in 1996, I was getting that 25 cents a box. Mm-hmm. They have this thing they call it production work. The price of production work never changes. The hour work changes because it's the law. But there's no law says that they got to give you 50 cents a box or a dollar a box or a crate or whatever. So the average farm worker working in the field over 40 years for the same price. So you can't afford anything. The average farm worker income is under $3,500 a year. So being a migrant worker, that's one of the reasons you have to migrate, because your income is so low. And you have a span in between each season. Mm-hmm. So when there's no work, you can't afford to sit down, and you got a family, so you got to migrate up north.
And Mr. Parker is surrounded by one grind field with some Mount Dora, Tenerine,
Chisholmville, and Oakland.
And all, and they said they was working the farms in those little small towns as well. And there's no place for people to work other than like eating restaurants, no hotels, or something like that. And how many people is going to work in Nugget Settlement?
And then the average farm worker is uneducated. They can't read or they can't write. So if you're uneducated, when they built Disney, it was a lost cause. Because I was educated, and I went to Disney 1,000 times, and I could not get employed. Once they ask you what type of work you have done, and you fill out your application at Disney or SeaWorld or wherever, and all you can put down is you've done farm work, they don't tell you, well, because you did farm work, we can't hire you. They say, we're going to put your application on file. You never get called.
I went and they told me that back in there, not being in the sun, my hair had turned red. And they told me they couldn't hire me because
of your hair, one
black
color.
And I told the lady, I said, I never had black hair.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to have black. I said, no, I don't.
And most farm workers that do have hair on their head and they don't wear a bandana or hat to work, their hair turns red. And a lot of jobs say your hair got to be one color. But if I never dyed my hair and it turns naturally red from the sun, then I don't want to dye. So it was so much to hinder. It was so much to hinder farm workers from gaining knowledge to work on other jobs. because I was one of them that I was very aggressive. I went to school. I quit farm work 1,000 times to go to school. But you got to always go back because of funds needed to take care of your children.
You know, even though you were running the field all day, sucking up pesticides and spray from the airplane and spray from the tractor, whatever, it felt good to take a breath, fresh air early in the morning and late in the afternoon. Now, you might suffer through the day in the heat or whatever, but it felt good. You felt free because you wasn't inside a building.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't stuck with nowhere behind no door. And you enjoyed working in the field.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't realize how sick it was actually making us.
And a lot of people ask us, why did we stay in the fields? Why did we work in the fields? Because our mom was able to send us to school. But the thing about it is, that was all we knew. That was all we knew. When I was a child, my family traveled the seasons yearly. I mean, from the time I can remember back when I was 3 years old, which would have been 1953, traveling from Florida to Maryland to work. All my life we traveled, my family traveled. And that was all we knew. So when it got so hard in my home, my mama being a single mom, it got so hard to me and my oldest brother. We had to go help my mom. I remember my mom leaving Belgrade to come to Apopka to work in the corn. My mother was not a corn packer. My mother was a celery worker. She only worked celery. So when we left Belgrade to come here for my mom to pack corn because the season there was finished, by then I was 6 years old. I remember my mama going in the field to pack corn, and she was on a rotating machine where it has 14 workers on each side, and the workers rotate because you get more corn when you get to the front. My mama only packed 98 boxes of corn that day. That wasn't even $6. So they were paying $6 in a box. You had to pack 100 boxes to make $6. My mama could not pack corn. And a lady told my mama, because I used to stand on the back of the machine, and I used to do what the children call play packing. And I would stand back there and catch the big corn and pack, pack, pack. At the end of the day, my mom didn't know that Miss Carlene was recording what I was packing. At the end of the day, my mama packed 79 boxes. I packed 100 boxes. So now you know that I can pack. You're going to put me to work. So school was finished for me. Summer school was finished for me. Because the idea was we come up here and she enrolled us in a summer thing while she goes to work. But when she learned that I can pack, it was finished. And from there on, I packed corn every season.
Thank you for listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Please join us for part 3 of this episode.